The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, October 21st, and we are looking at, Sully, join me to break down the Thursday night football game. Sully, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, have you ever watched PCU? You might be too young for PCU.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. It's with Jeremy Piven.
Is okay. In there. Yeah. I know who it is, but
right. You know who Jeremy Piven is, but my point was that there's a line. It's like, watch out, it's a scorcher, and that's what we got this Thursday night: Browns and Broncos. Not a scorcher this game. And by the way, if you're watching, you can watch this on YouTube. We will break down the game from a gambling perspective, from a prop perspective, first touchdown perspective, and then after the podcast, the audio podcast ends, we will continue on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. Sully and I will look at some DFS lineups. I don't think we actually ended up cashing our did you play
I didn't play the Bizarro lineup, but the Costanza lineup, as we're trying to trademark.
Do we write it down? Because golly, I think it did pretty well.
I can find it really quick. Someone tweeted it at us because somebody, you know,
it was doing good. And then I think it kind of created, I mean, you needed Cole Beasley to be in your lineup for the Bills and Titans game. And who's the tight end that caught the touchdown pass for the?
I have it right here. So Julio was the captain. Derrick Henry, Tannehill, Diggs, Singletary, Tyler Bass.
That's not bad.
We danced around it.
Yeah, you needed Beasley. Yeah. Sweeney was the guy, the key. Sweeney was the $200 tight end who caught a 1-yard touchdown pass. You needed to have him. I think Diggs was important. Beasley. Tannehill needed to be out. And you had to have Derrick Henry, who ran for 143 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah. This will be a tough DFS week. It's also going to be a tough prop week, and that's really
The normal lineups will be weird. Like, so maybe we're going to be good at this.
You that's know, right. Maybe yeah. It's we'll such just a stumble weird... into a weird lineup. The Browns notably have had a pretty robust injury report for the last 2 weeks. I'm going to read the. This is insane. I'm just going to read the full injury report for the Browns really quickly. I'm not going to name whether they're out or not. These are just every single player who's listed on the injury report. Odell Beckham, Nick Chubb, Jadeveon Clowney, Jack Conklin, Myles Garrett, A.J. Green. Not that A.J. Green. Malik Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Malik McDowell, Takaris McKinley, Greg Newsome, David Njoku, Malcolm Smith, J.C. Treader, Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams, Jedrick Wills, Mack Wilson, and Jordan Elliott. That's the whole team, Sully.
I'm sorry, were you reading the depth chart or was it the injury
report? That's their injury report for week 7. Now, Nick Chubb is out. I didn't even list Kareem Hunt because he's on IR. He's out. Baker Mayfield has been ruled out. It looks like they should be good to go with Myles Garrett, Malik McDowell, Takaris McKinley, Greg Newsome, Denzel Ward, Greedy Williams, and Jordan Elliott. But Mack Wilson. On the defensive side, Mack Wilson, Malcolm Smith, Malik Jackson, Jadeveon Clowney are all questionable. On the offensive side, Odell Beckham, Jack Conklin, J.C. Treader, and Jedrick Wills are all questionable. And that makes for a really difficult spot for Cleveland. They're off a short week. So the Broncos, of course. And the Broncos are, you know, they're dealing with some injuries too, but they actually haven't, as we're recording this on Wednesday, have not released their Wednesday injury report because they are on mountain time. But, you know, it's looking like they should be in pretty good shape. Most of their important guys, Justin Simmons, Melvin Gordon, Noah Fant, Teddy Bridgewater, Garrett Bowles, were at practice in some capacity on Tuesday. So you would expect that they look fairly decent for that on Wednesday. And we'll update that as it comes through. But the larger point is the Browns, who were a 4 or 5 point favorite when this line opened on Sunday, are now down to a 2 or 1.5 point favorite, depending on where you look. Of course, podcast listeners know that we use Caesars. I'm just going to refresh real quick and make sure that they are two. Yeah, they're plus two with a total of 41. Sully, where's your head at with this spread and this game in general?
I mean, you laid it out right there. I mean, it's surprising that Cleveland is still getting the advantage here, that I'm still able to get points with the Denver Broncos because of all those injuries that you listed. I had it earlier this week, kind of when it was trending that Baker Mayfield might play, but you know, he's going to gut through it. Not going to be 100%. I had it at plus 3.5. I was still taking Denver then. I'm taking them now. It just, to me, it's hard to see them overcoming a lot of these. And again, Case Keenum's going to start for the Cleveland Browns. There is a path that you can point to say they can cover this. They can come out and win this game, because you got to remember, Case Keenum knows Kevin Stefanski quite well. Back in 2017, he was the quarterback's coach when he was the starter for the Minnesota Vikings and was having his best year of his professional life. So to me, you can maybe kind of go down that road and say, hey, can they recreate that magic for one more game on Thursday Night Football as Baker Mayfield tries to rest up for that extended period of time going from week 7 to week 8? Maybe. But right now, I just like the way the Broncos are shaped up for this game more so than the Browns.
I don't necessarily think that the Broncos are a good team per se. I think they're an okay team.
They've lost three straight.
Yeah, they've lost three straight games. They won their first three, lost their next three. It's sort of like the Raiders. Feels like it probably propped up, and the Panthers to a degree, probably propped up a little bit by their schedule. Mike, the latest I see, Mike Kliss. Fangio thinks Teddy Bridgewater will play. Pat Shurmur thinks he'll play. Teddy won't commit as to whether he'll play, repeating he's only focused on rehabbing game plan, mixing the limp, and this may be a true 50-50 status by bus time. That tweet came at about 8:45 on Wednesday morning. Trying to see if I can find anything about the Broncos. Oh, yeah. Broncos have officially listed Teddy Bridgewater, Garrett Bowles, and Caden Stearns as questionable. They just released their injury report like 5 minutes ago. Baron Browning and Aaron Patrick, two linebackers, are ruled out. Tight end Noah Fant is not given a game status, which means he'll be available to play. And Melvin Gordon and Justin Simmons, no game statuses as well. So all those guys will be available to play. I know, man, I went like 2-12 against the spread last week, so I have no business. It's embarrassing. I'm prepping to hear about it on the picks podcast this week. So I don't want to be like, this is obvious, let's take it. But, you know, last week there were a lot of things that looked obvious and I went against them, because, you know, sometimes in the NFL when it looks obvious, it's too good to be true. I don't see how you and you know, we definitely were like, I don't see how you can take the Titans on Monday, but you know, we were wrong about that. I really don't see how you can take the Browns. They're too banged up. The Case Keenum thing, maybe that's an angle that I don't hate, in the idea that he has played well. And if they're able to get Odell Beckham out, honestly, for me, it would probably depend. Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum, that different, probably a pretty negligible difference, honestly. 85 or 70% Baker and 100% Case Keenum. I don't know that there's a huge downgrade from that. However, if for some reason Jack Conklin, Jedrick Wills, and J.C. Treader miss the game, I have major concerns. I mean, the Browns are going to be running D'Ernest Johnson and who else we got trotting out there?
Well, that's basically what I was going to say, Will, is that, yeah, I'm not overly concerned about going from Baker Mayfield to Case Keenum. What I am concerned about is going from Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt to Johnson.
D'Ernest Johnson, Demetric Felton, and they sang John Kelly as well.
That is how they run their offense. You know, we've seen this throughout the year. We'll talk about the props in a minute, but Keenum's pass attempts prop, Baker Mayfield's only gone over it twice this year. Like, yeah, they don't pass a ton. It's a running offense. And so now when you're talking about a third string guy in backups and reserves in the key cog of your offense, and you're going from, again, studs in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt to that, it's really hard, especially when you're going up against the Denver defense. That I know we all talk about Cleveland having this top flight unit, but Denver is right there too. They are not that far off in terms of where they stack up statistically in over, you know, throughout the NFL in terms of just stopping the run, stopping the pass. To me, it's going to be could be a low scoring affair here too.
Yeah, I saw the under at 42.5 earlier in the week. I took, in full disclosure, I took the Broncos plus 3.5 earlier this week. Obviously, huge difference. Yep. If they're now -2, that line has dropped pretty significantly on Wednesday. Football Outsiders has Denver as the 24th best defense, in football, and the Browns at 13, which I'm a little surprised by that, but okay. Not out of control. Offensively, Cleveland is the 8th best offense, but they are only the 16th best pass offense, according to DVOA, because they are the number 2 run offense. Who the hell is better than Cleveland in the run game? Oh, I would not have guessed that. Could you want to go to take a guess?
I will go with...
You won't get it.
I won't get it. I was going to go Tennessee.
Jacksonville!
Oh, jeez.
Would not have gotten it. Right?
Let's go.
Cleveland, the number 2 rush offense, number 16 pass offense. The problem here is that if we saw this last week against Arizona, and Arizona's a much better team than Denver, but if Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills are not available and J.C. Treader is not there, you're going to be running with backup running backs and backup offensive linemen. Yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah, it does. It just doesn't work. And especially when you're talking about Case Keenum dropping back to pass in those situations where they have to, you're talking about more pressure. And you're talking about a secondary that is allowed, I believe that I looked it up earlier, the lowest completion percentage allowed to opposing quarterbacks in the Denver Broncos this year. So it's not ideal for Case Keenum or anybody in this offense right now.
Yeah, and Denver checks in at the 14th best pass offense and 19th best run offense. Not exactly a powerhouse here in terms of the run game, but I don't think I could take the over in this game. I would probably want to take the I don't 41's really low though.
That's the problem, right? Like I say, it's going to be a low scoring game, but when we're talking about the total being 41, you almost feel like it's starting to get too low. You're not, that again, you just because you feel like it's going to be low scoring doesn't mean you're just automatically taking the under here. So I would probably lean towards the over by just a hair, but ultimately I would stay away from this one. To me, I wouldn't bet it.
Wind could be a factor for this game. It's looking like around game time, basically 17 mile an hour winds all day up until the evening. Also, a light chance of rain throughout the night, 65 degrees, not too cold, but not exactly fun weather. Windy, rainy, Cleveland, kind of gross game.
That's a defensive weather right there.
Feels like defensive weather. There was a lot of, supposed to be wind in the Browns-Cardinals game, and that game didn't even come close to going under. I think I would lean towards the under, and I would pick the Broncos here. And I know that everyone's on the Broncos. That's fine. I will be taking the Broncos as well.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Again, I liked them at 3 when I got them earlier in the week. 2, sure, it's fine. I'm taking the money line. If it gets to 2, I'm just taking the money line.
Yeah. It's at 2 now. I think that's probably the play. Take the money line at plus 105. Yeah. Sure. Rather than laying the 10 cents on plus 2. I think I like that as well. Okay. Let's talk some player props. We'll take a break and then we'll come back and talk some player props.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Magical! Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Player props are not easy for this game over at William Hill, or excuse me, Caesars. Why do I keep doing that? Caesars, they have usually an option to click on one team or the other team. You can't do that because there aren't any player props for the Browns players. And that's not surprising. You know, Odell Beckham questionable. So that, you know, that's an immediate, you know, issue when it comes to deciding, you know, who are we going to get from the passing game? Because if Odell Beckham doesn't play, it dramatically changes the props that we'll see for Donovan Peoples-Jones, Anthony Schwartz, Rashard Higgins. And you better believe that Caesars is struggling to figure out what the rushing. Actually, they do have a Dearness Johnson rushing yard total at 59.5. Javonte Williams, 47.5. Melvin Gordon, 39.5 for their rush yards. And then Noah Fant, Gordon, Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton, and Javonte Williams up on receiving yards. We probably won't see a great market for Browns players until Thursday evening once the inactives are confirmed, unless Odell Beckham, all these guys are questionable, and that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, it's exactly the situation that we had on Monday with A.J. Brown, where it was unknown. He had that illness, food poisoning, didn't know if he was going to play, so we had a lot of the player props, the receiving props for the Titans down. So it's basically the same sort of scenario. We got to wait and see who's actually in, who's actually out, because it's a domino effect for the rest of the guys there. I will say, though, the one prop that I really do love for this game is Teddy Bridgewater's over passing touchdowns, 1.5. And I had it at plus 120. And the reason why I'm looking at that one is because Cleveland has a great defense. But one area that kind of surprised me when I was looking up stats was that they've given up 14 passing touchdowns this year. That's tied for the third most in the NFL. So if we're looking at some sort of a weakness that he can exploit, to me, that one makes the most sense. And he's thrown for passing touchdowns. I think, you know, he threw three last week. He's pretty much had double digit passing touchdowns, I believe, in four of his six games played this year, Bridgewater has. So to me, that one is the one I'm leaning to the hardest going into Thursday.
I like that. I saw a study that said typically when the under hits, passing touchdowns tend to go down, but
that would make sense.
Yeah. Right. It's sort of like comments like rushing yards up. And when unders hit, it's like, yeah, that's really the only way it could work. But yeah, I mean, I think when you look at that for Bridgewater, and again, he's got to play.
Yeah.
Make sure he's playing before you bet.
For sure. Absolutely.
But you know, questionable, you know, confirmed that he's playing, but I do agree that the plus money on these passing touchdowns makes a lot of sense, especially when you look at a team in Cleveland that is good against a run on defense, even though they're going to be, you know, likely missing some defensive players. I don't mind that at all. I don't want to mess with the yardage totals for Bridgewater or Keenum. I don't really want to mess with the pass. I don't think I want to mess with the pass attempts for Bridgewater or Keenum.
The only one that I was thinking on was Keenum. And that one, again, it's really, you know, if I'm trying to find one for Keenum, it's going to be the under on his passing attempts. I had 31.5. You know, like I said earlier in the pod, Mayfield's only gone over that number twice this season, albeit with the caveat he has Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt in the backfield that he's handing it off to. It's a little bit different when you have Johnson back there. But ultimately, I just don't know if they're going to completely put it in Case Keenum's hands to try to win this football game, especially when, like I said earlier, when you're going up against a secondary that's allowed the lowest completion percentage in the NFL through the first 6 weeks. So to me, I just don't see that being the right game plan. I could see Stefanski just saying, listen, we're going to stick to what we do philosophically, and we're going to see if we can execute with the players that we have.
Yeah. All right. I will take for a prop over Melvin Gordon rush yards. I know Cleveland's good against a run. Don't care. I think Melvin Gordon will get some run here.
Yeah, that too.
The fact that he is not on the injury report and that you can get this at Caesars right now for, I need to start more carefully writing down the props that we take so I can later say, oh, look at how smart we are, or look how stupid we are. The total for rush yards, by the way, there's a Deshaun Watson trade rumor out there that's popping up. So maybe grab him in fantasy. If I'm talking and you want to get it done, go for it. The over under for Melvin Gordon is 39. Right? Over under for 39.5. Under is -120. Over -110. I think they'll give him enough run where he gets closer to 50 receiving yards or 50 rushing yards, excuse me. And if we believe that Denver's going to be winning the game, then more likely to pile up those rush yards. So don't mind that at all. Javonte Williams over under 47.5. I like the Williams over as well at 47.5. I think he clears 50 yards. He's been running well. And with Gordon banged up, they should give the rookie maybe a few more carries than you might expect. Again, banged up Cleveland defense. I think Denver will want to go in here, play ball control, play defense, force the Browns to try and throw it around and win that way. And that's just how I sort of picture this going. So I like both those rush yards over for those guys.
Yeah, I do too. And again, those are low numbers for what is really like a 50-50 split. I think Gordon still had, you know, as much as Williams is kind of surging here a little bit, Gordon still has a stranglehold, a role in this offense. You know, I think it was around 52, 53 offensive snaps last week. Again, he's banged up, but that's still a decent share. Even if he gets, you know, 45% and it's really starting to be more lopsided towards Williams, 39.5 is not a huge number for him. He's gone over that in all but two games this year. So I do like that a lot. And I do like the idea that Williams, we'll probably get into more of this after the pod on the DFS portion, but Williams, this feels like a good kind of, I don't want to call it a breakout performance because again, he's going up against a, you know, a really good run defense. But if there was ever a week where they kind of want to test out their rookie running back to see what it's like, if he's a featured role type of player, you can use it on a short week, fresh legs, younger player, especially when you have Gordon banged up a little bit. That one makes a lot of sense if you want to see him, you know, kind of explode a little bit.
Yeah, I agree completely on the, I hate when I accidentally close my email. I'm trying to look up the props that I sent in there. I agree on that in general. I also have two more. Noah Fant over receiving yards and Cortland Sutton over receiving yards. Fant is at 40.5, Sutton at 67.5. As we know, Fant now cleared by the Broncos. That makes it a lot easier to take that. I could see that going up as well. Yeah, it's already up to 41.5 -115 to the over. Sutton actually down to 65.5. They basically adjusted those two guys and moved things around a little bit. These are low totals. I expect Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock to throw the ball some. Jerry Judy's not coming back for this game. Sutton should be the recipient of enough passes that he gets above that number. And Fant has just been better, I think, than people really understand in sort of an offense that's flown under the radar. So
yeah,
I like those two overs.
He was a guy that I was going into fantasy leagues making sure I had on my roster. And I'm glad to be proven right in a lot of those, because the tight end position, it's very hard to get that one right. And if you do, you're good for season long. To me, the Fant prop that I really like, and again, it might have jumped up now, but it was 3.5 receptions for this one. I like the over on that one. Again, he's just been a huge target machine for Teddy Bridgewater over the last few weeks. Over the season, he's hit this prop over 4 out of 6 times. He just makes a lot of sense. Again, like you said, this offense does kind of work him into the rotation quite a bit here. So I do love that.
Yeah, I would probably not take that at 4.5, but I think
that's where it is now.
No. I'm just saying, I think 3.5 is good. 4.5 might be a bit much for that.
Yep.
And then I don't know if I'm probably not messing around with Sutton receptions or Tim Patrick receptions. Those numbers look pretty good.
I'll tell you this though, with Sutton, you know, just if we're talking about a volume standpoint, 25 targets over the last two games. I mean, it is just a monster number. You can have a horribly inefficient day receiving, but if you're getting that type of volume, I mean, 12.5 targets a game, that you will still get over certain numbers.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably going to get 5, right? Over 4.5 -160 is just a bit steep.
Yeah.
For me, but yeah, Fant over 3.5 is -150. That's expensive, but don't necessarily mind that at all. I just think that the pass game for the, there we go. Look at that. What do men write in the notes section of their phone? That's what they write. Props. Producer Chris doing that.
It's either props or apologies, right? Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
That's right. Yeah. All right, let's talk about first touchdown score. I don't think we've gotten one since we started talking about it on the podcast, which is rather unfortunate. I'll be honest, I don't like this this setup right here.
Yeah.
On not the setup on the right. I like the setup on the right on YouTube. I mean, the setup on the props. So D'Ernest Johnson plus 440 to first touchdown. What are we doing here?
I know.
Melvin Gordon 7.5 to 1. Cortland Sutton 7.5 to 1. Javonte Williams 8.5 to 1. Noah Fant 9.5 to 1. Tim Patrick 10 to 1. Hooper 15. Kendall Hinton 17. David Njoku 18. Harrison Bryant 30 to 1. And Teddy Bridgewater 30 to 1. I don't think that you can really bet any of these until more of the Browns are put on there, because that will change the odds for everybody. The only one I would look at is probably Noah Fant, just because Teddy Bridgewater has looked his way frequently in the red zone. And if, you know, if I can get basically a 10 to 1 on a tight end who's has done a good job catching inside the red zone, I'm okay with that. Fant, by the way, 7 red zone targets, 5 catches, 2 targets inside the 10, 2 catches, 2 touchdowns. So this is a guy that they like to use in that, you know, these high value targets. They like to focus in on him. I think he is by far the most targets inside the red zone for Denver. Although Cortland Sutton, 7 targets, 4 catches inside the red zone, 1 touchdown, 4 targets, 2 catches inside the 10, no touchdowns. I don't think anyone else is even close. Tim Patrick would be your next one. 3 inside the 10 targets, 1 touchdown, 1 catch. So yeah, I think Fant for me at 9.5 to 1 is priced incorrectly in terms of first touchdown score relative to the rest of the Broncos.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I'm really only looking at that one. If there's another one that you want to throw a dart play to, you can see it up on the screen here on YouTube, is Kendall Hinton maybe at plus 1,700. That's the only other one that, you know, just in terms of a value standpoint, makes some sense to me. If you look at
the only thing I would say about that is wait until the – and Fant might come down to like 7.5 to 1 after it's announced that he's cleared, or maybe Gordon will be cheaper. We'll see, but wait until these Browns guys get up there too, because if Odell Beckham's playing, you're going to get Hinton. Somebody like Hinton should be like 25 to 1. I think not a lot of values here. I would just put a little bit on Fant and call it a day now for the various guys that are up there.
Yeah. I like it. I'm just quick thing about Hinton the last couple of games, 65%, 63% of the offensive snaps. He did catch a touchdown in week 5 against Pittsburgh. So, and last week was a season high in targets, five targets for him. So to me, you know, maybe there's something there, something building a little bit more before Jerry Jeudy gets back into the fold. He'll start, you know, he can be that number 3 receiver behind Sutton, behind Patrick, and really that 4th option when you throw in Noah Fant there. Just kind of a dart play. And again, it is smart to wait and see if you get even more value for that closer to kickoff. But yeah, no, Fant to me is the at basically 10 to 1. That's the one that I'm looking at hard.
Yep. Agreed. All right. That is the prop. That is the gambling and props and general Thursday night preview. As we noted, look, this was a little bit shorter than normal. It's because there's all these injuries. I mean, you know, this is week 7 in the NFL, and the Browns are one of the most injured teams in football. There's just not a lot.
Well, the thing is, too, just don't waste your money. You know what I mean? Don't just, you know, if you have an allowance for each week, you know, spread it around a little bit. It doesn't have to be, you know, we obviously cover, you know, we do 2 podcasts with Thursday and Monday nights. But like tomorrow, you're going to be talking with RJ and Pete about a whole slate. So, you know, you spread it around. If you think that you spend, you know, whatever it is, $100 on Thursday nights, maybe on this week because it's such a kind of wild card. Maybe you throw it off a little bit
and you spend 50 and spend 150 on Monday night or something like
that.
Just
be smart about it. You know what I mean?
Or go spend time with your family. Don't bet on the game. Go spend time with your family. Let the professionals watch this crap fest. Just kidding. Everybody's going to be watching it. Also, is there good Thursday night college football? Yeah, you know, who cares? We're getting out of here. That's the end of the audio podcast. We will, of course, keep it rolling on YouTube as we break down this game from a DFS perspective. Talk to you guys later.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.